Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
But we've been in this series called Seasons, and we talked about a few weeks ago the season of rejection, the season of preparation. And also, Pastor Minnie talked about the waiting season. Anybody like to wait? Anybody impatient in the house? Come on. Besides my wife sitting on the front row. And then last week, it was the battle for breakthrough season. Jay did an amazing job. We're so grateful for the voices that we have in this house now. So this title of this message is called The Winning Season. Everyone loves a winning season, correct? Oh, come on. Indiana had a winning season. Two times. They're national champions. Come on, somebody. But everyone loves a winning season in sports, a year when everything clicks. You have just the right players, except for the Raiders. Yeah, I had to stab it, Paige, on that one. You have no injuries. You're winning the close games. And the chemistry is really, really good in those winning seasons. In life, it looks like this. Your prayers are being answered. Doors are opening. Doors are closing. Things just seem to be falling in line, in the right place at the right time. Over the next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk about how David, a man after God's own heart, prepared himself for a winning season. And even in the winning season, you still may have to face some giants. David's winning season did not begin when he became king. It began when God chose him. He had a winning season, not because he was perfect, not because he was always faithful, but it was, and that's true of us. He had a winning season because he was faithful to God and to do the things that God called him to do. Your winning starts when you're faithful to God and you're obedient to him. David's winning season started in a private place. And so many times, you know, remember, I told you a few weeks ago, he was rejected, he was ignored, he was forgot about. He was put on the back burner. And they sent him out, even though he was crowned king, they sent him back out to the pasture. So he was kind of forgotten about. What David had to do in that time, he had to get over the fear of fighting. He had to get over fear by fighting bears, by fighting lions. He had to fight through the pain of loneliness, anger, doubt, pride. You know, I'm the king and I'm out here in the pasture. Come on, somebody. He had to learn, all I can do is pray for you. That is such a weak statement. We have power in prayer. We shouldn't be saying, well, all I can do is pray for you. All I can do is bow down. All I can do is worship. There is so much power in worship. There's so much power in prayer. And we need to start leading in that power, leading in it. He had to learn how to worship when nobody was watching. Don't get discouraged and don't complain about the season you're in when you feel like no one is seeing you. God is seeing you. God is working in you and he's preparing you for a winning season. But number one, a winning season starts, it involves obedience. We could spell that one out. His brothers were all off at war. They were at the Battle of the Philistines. His dad comes to him and says this. 1 Samuel. One day Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing. David's first big assignment. Okay, what is he? He's the king, right? He's like, do what? You want me to take cheese and bread to those guys? And then you want me to give you a report? Come on, I thought there would be something much bigger in my first assignment. He had to fight through his feelings to get to the facts. Come on, he could have reacted like we often do out of our feelings, right? He could have said angry, he said, no, Dad, you take it yourself. I ain't going with those ungrateful guys. I don't have nothing to do with them. I don't really like them. And the bad thing is they don't really like me either. What have they ever done for me? He had to fight through the human feelings of insecurity. All that stuff started coming to his mind again, how he'd been treated. He had to fight through doubt do I really have the qualifications to do what I'm called to do? He had to fight through the rejection and the hurt, says, sometimes we do that, right? We have past mistakes and disappointments that made you believe that you don't have what it takes. Do you fight through your feelings, or do you handle them through your feelings? You ever been around a bunch of people that feel all the time? Well, I feel this way, and I feel. Feelings will lie to you. Come on, anybody ever had their feelings lie to them? They will lie to you, they will lie to you, they will lie to you. And I've said it before, I don't feel like going to work. LGD doesn't feel like giving you electricity either. We have to fight through our feelings because our feelings get us in trouble. Our emotions lie to us. And in your winning season, you have to be obedient to the assignment that God has given you. So look what David does in 1 Samuel 17. He said, David rose early. You're going to get all of Samuel. You need to read the Samuel story. It's so good. So David rose early in the morning, left his sheep with the keeper, and took the things as he went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the armies was going out to fight and shouting for battle. Here's what I wrote. You might have to serve some mac and cheese to people you don't like to get to your assignment. I'm going to say that one again. You might have to serve some mac and cheese to people you don't like to get to the assignment God has for you. And you never know who those people are. Maybe they're your assignment. Come on, people have put people in your lives before, and you're like, God, why in the why? He's like, because I got something for you. You got something for them they need. Come on, somebody, we have to work through our feelings. And sometimes God has put these people in our lives that we're like, God, can you take them away? And he's like, no, I'm poking you a little bit harder. That thorn is going in your flesh a little bit more. But then you'll always see, if you're faithful to that assignment, God always does something good. David would have never met the real assignment if he had not obeyed his father. Our opportunities are wrapped in obedience. Obedience and submission, discipline always makes way for new assignments. But obedience doesn't always require details. Abraham, you got all this money, you got all this land. I want you to get up and I want you to go. Where am I going, God? I'll tell you when you get there. Just go that way. And when you get there, I'm going to let you wait many, 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 many years. And then I'm going to give you the details. Sometimes it does. Noah, I need you to build me a boat. Really ain't rained much around here, you know. I don't want you to build me any boat. I want you to build one about the size of a half of a cruise ship. He doesn't always give you the details. He just wants you to be obedient in going and doing what he's asked you to do. Normal obedience can help out a lot. Normal obedience is to pray when you need to pray. Serve when you need to serve. Read and give. Sometimes the smallest details matter in your assignment. Look at Luke 19 in the message. He said, good servant, great work. Because you've been trustworthy in the small jobs, I'm making you governor over 10 towns. God wants to give you the opportunities. He wants to move you up. He wants you to go higher, but you have to finish what you start. Don't leave things unattended. He said he left his sheep with a keeper. He didn't just say, peace out, sheep. I got to go to the battle. You can take care of yourself. He left them with a keeper. He left them the supplies with a keeper too. Good shepherds never leave their sheep unattended. Come on. Good shepherds smell like their sheep. I had a guy, that was a good one. I had a pastor friend of mine said, if you don't smell like your sheep, you ain't shepherding them right. You ever smell a sheep? Ugh, better than hogs. Hogs are horrible. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. But God has trusted us to feed and to tend the sheep. And David did this in 17. He said, David left his supplies in the hands of the keeper, and he ran to the army, and he came and greeted his brothers. We carry the supplies that someone else needs. You say, who, me? Every one of us have gifts, talents, and things we've not even unlocked in our own minds and our own hearts yet. But God has put those things in you for a reason, for a season, for to do, not to hold them in, but to be able to release them. You have the supplies that someone else needs. And I say that, your testimony, Bruce was telling me about the CR in Fairdale. He said he was crying the whole time. There's a guy that has the supplies that someone needs in that group now, right? I was once this way, and now I'm no longer that way. Well, tell me why in 3 minutes or less. Tell me why. Because our testimony is so powerful. It shows that God can take even the lowliest person. He can take anybody. Sometimes we disqualify ourselves. Man, go look at the Bible. There's a lot of disqualified folks that God used mightily. Let me go on. I'm preaching three different messages. David's assignment is about to change because he's willing. Skill, talent, connections, they may help for a little while, but God can use the willing over the talented. He can use the person that'll say yes over those people who feel like they have all the qualifications. Come on, somebody. The facts were David had to humble himself, fight through his feelings. Why? Because David was about to be reassigned in the middle of his assignment. Number two, a winning season, you got to know who your enemy is. This one will preach. David comes on the scene. He's excited to see what's going on. He wants to go see the battle. And in 1 Samuel 17, he says, then he talked with them. There was a champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. We're going to talk about giants next week. And he spoke according to the same word, so David heard them. These two armies were sitting on one side of the hill, and there was a valley in between. And many times in battles, they would pick a warrior to go fight. Y'all seen the movie Troy? Oh, it's a great movie. Yeah. But there was no action going on because why? There was a giant in the middle of this valley named Goliath. He was over 9 feet tall. His armor weighed 125 pounds. His spear was 12 feet long. These are 13-foot ceilings. Can you imagine throwing a spear that big? And the tip of that spear was 15 pounds. And 40 days, he stood out there and he taunted and he cursed God. And he called them all cowards. He says, choose somebody to come and fight against me. Send out your best warrior. And 1 Samuel says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be to the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and his father's house from exemption from tax. So listen, David's like, I'm going to get some money. I'm going to get the babe, and I ain't going to have to pay taxes. He said, sign me up. Then David spoke to the men who were around him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now Eliab, that's his older brother, heard and he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David and says, what did you come down here for? And where did you leave the sheep? I know your pride and your insolence of your heart, for you came down here to see the battle, David. He's trying to make David feel bad. I love this part. Y'all getting a little taste of what used to be like several years ago. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? He then turned around towards the other and said the same thing. And the people answered him, said that first as the first ones did. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who and what are you fighting? David had to turn away from his brother. The enemy does this. Pay attention. He always creates a new enemy. He always creates something else to divert your attention from your assignment. He wants you to divert yourself from the real assignment he's given, so he puts other people, other obstacles in your way. He wasn't just looking at a Goliath out there. Now his older brother was talking smack to him. But you know what David did? He turned away from them. Distractions will keep you from the real battle, and discouragement stands in your way to your purpose. You got to learn how to tune out the negative people in your life. Negative people can steal. They'll set you back. They'll divert your purpose. You got to get some mind over matter. I don't mind because your opinion don't matter. Come on, I changed that a little bit. It doesn't. Sometimes we let everybody's opinion of what we think live our lives out. We got people living our lives for us. Oh, my God, that's another one right there. We can talk about that one 2 hours. They are not God. We have to know the battle that we're fighting and the ones that's fighting for us, we have to trust in him more than the opinions of other people too. When you know your God, when you know your assignment, when you know your purpose, you got to stand up and be firm in what God has done in your life. There's greater things coming against you. David had to turn away. What most of us would be saying, we'd be saying, hey, come at me, bro. Come on. You want some of this? But he doesn't attack back. Why? That's a hard one. Don't fight someone or something you shouldn't be fighting. He walked away from his obstacles toward his assignment. You got to stay focused on the mission and the purpose that God has for you. Number three, winning season requires us to take a stand. Verse 29, he says again, is there not a cause? But what David did, he came on the scene as an observer, but he couldn't stay that way. When the Spirit of God gets hold of you, you can't sit on the sidelines anymore. So many times, man, David come on the scene. These other guys are cowering, and they're men of war. They've been fighting, doing this for years. And he walks up on the scene and says, man, what are y'all doing? That's just a giant. We serve a God who's greater than that. You can't sit on the sidelines anymore. You have to get into the game. He challenged them. He says, what is our purpose? What are we doing here? What do we stand for? Is there not a cause? We see the world right now where they picket and they protest and they camp out and they speak out. And that's a small percentage of the people who are doing it. But they're doing it loudly. They're doing it boldly. But what are they fighting for? They're fighting for their own ideology. They're fighting for what they think is right. The world accepts that society says it doesn't know, but that society has rejected the truth. It says, like sheep led to a slaughter. Can I ask you a question? Will you take a stand when no one else will? Christianity is becoming more popular, but it's not really popular right now. Church has become irrelevant. That's what the generation says. And morality is subjective. What are we Christians passionate about? A few years ago, Chick-fil-A did something. I don't know what cause it was for. People were lined up for miles down Billtown. I mean, all the way miles to get a free Chick-fil-A sandwich and to show their support. What would happen if we lined up on Wednesday night prayer? What would happen if we made our cause not a chicken sandwich, but to see the kingdom of God filled with people? Come on, somebody. We got to know what we're fighting for. Is there not a cause? It's time to quit talking about it and praying about it. It's time to be about it. It's time to do more and less talk. What can we do? I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians says this. There's a condition. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn. You have to do a little bit of turning too from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. You want healing to this land? We got to turn back to God. And when he's talking about his people, he's talking about us sitting in this room who call themselves Christians. There are conditions to change the conditions that we're in. Repentance is still something that's big. Prayer is something that you can't get by without it. Seeking his will. The pursuit of God leads to knowledge, and knowledge to revelation. And revelation requires action. We got to step out of the church. We're talking about outreach. We got to step out of the church and get into the world. We got to get out of our comfort zones because the real battle is not here on Sunday morning. The real battle is out there on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday. The real battle is going on in your families, in our schools. Come on, we got to figure out who we're fighting and what we're fighting for. God is looking for a generation, both young, middle, and seasoned, to be family changers, to be workplace changers, to be school changers, to be city shakers and world changers. Come on, y'all. He's looking for us to do something. We've sat on the sidelines so long that we don't know what our mission is. It wasn't just sheep. I wrote this down. This was good this morning. It wasn't just sheep David was fighting for. It was their livelihood. He didn't fight those bears and those lions just because he wanted to. Those sheep were how they made a living. It wasn't just a giant he's about to face. It was a nation that he was defiling. It was a God that he was going. This man was talking smack about his God. He's like, no. I'm sorry. You can say whatever you want to, but you ain't talking about my God that way. Come on, what if we got a boldness? What if we stood up in where we were at and we had a boldness to say, listen, I'm not afraid to speak, to preach the gospel. I'm not afraid to defend my God. There's so many people in this world that are trying to make our God small. And we need to make him big. He's bigger than any giant out there in your life. This wasn't just any battle. This is God's battle. We're not just fighting for ourselves. We're fighting for those younger generation. You see all these kids up here during worship? We're fighting for them. If you don't know what you're fighting for, I'll tell you what. Look up here on a Sunday morning and see 40, 50 kids up here all lined up. That's learning how to praise. They're learning how to worship. They're learning because, you know why? We're teaching them. Some of us seasoned people, I don't call us old people because we ain't old. Some of us seasoned people, we have a legacy to leave with our children's children. And we got to do it the right way because the world is pulling them in a different direction. Now, are you ready to join a cause? And I'm not talking about a political party. I'm not talking about a Republican or Democrat, or a conservative or a liberal. I'm not talking about an environmental group or the next big thing. Are you ready to stand together and to fight this battle? Who's ready to fight for a generation? Come on. We're better together. Our cause also is to be a light in a dark world. A voice to those who have no voice. There are some atrocities. Oh, y'all. There are some atrocities going on in this world that if you even knew the tip of it, it would make your stomach just turn. But we need to be a voice to those who have no voice. And we need to be hope. You are hope distributors. You need to be hope to someone who's lost hope, who's going through something in their life. They feel like no one cares. You need to walk up on the scene like David and change the environment. God aligns us with causes to bring him glory. Number four, a winning season will put us in position. Here's the boy standing up to the man. You know, what are we fighting for? What are we doing this for? But when you get submitted to God and get under his authority and where God has placed you, he opens the doors to submitted people. He opens the doors to obedient people. He opens the doors when you say, not my will, but yours, Lord. I'll do what you ask me to do. What happens when David does this? The word, listen, this is good. It gets back to the king. When there's something different about you, it'll get back to the king. Obedience, excellence, good character will put you before kings. It will give you influence. Come on. You can have all the social media you want to. You start obeying and doing what God has called you to do, you're going to start seeing doors swinging wide open. You're going to start seeing God shut doors that you've been trying to shut, or maybe you haven't shut them. He's been saying, you got to shut this door. But he'll put you in position to be in front of kings. David was made in the pasture, but now it was about to become public. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, you're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion and a bear came out and took the lamb, he said, and took the lamb out of his mouth. I went out and I struck it, and I delivered that lamb from his mouth. And when it arose against me, I grabbed it by the beard, and I struck it, and I killed it. David said, I used to keep the sheep. He was prophesying his future. I used to be this way, but I'm not that way anymore. Come on. Some of us, we need to say, I used to be depressed, but now I'm happy. I used to be hurt, but now I'm healed. I used to be rejected. Come on, somebody. Now I'm fit. I used to be bitter. Now I'm better. I used to keep the sheep, King. But my time as a shepherd was not wasted. God does some of his best work in private. He was prepared in the pasture. He learned his skills. And I'm going to talk about this next week a little bit. He learned how to focus. Here's the big thing. He learned how to trust, because there was times when it was just him and God out there. Nobody else. He had to learn how to trust God. The bear and the lion were just preparation for the giant. He said, I went out after it. I struck it. He said, I went after it. It was one lamb. He could have just cut his losses. He could have said, okay, well, I got 6,000 of them. That was puny anyway. You might as well just let the lion, he's hungry too. He said, no, he went out after it. Come on, Jesus didn't cut his losses. Aren't you glad he didn't cut his losses? Ah, oh, the Bible says he came to seek and save that which was lost. Anybody that'll come to him, he said, I'll save them. I'll pull them out of that ditch. I'll pull them out of that situation they're in. And then here's David talking to the king. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, come on somebody, and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, David must have been a convincing dude. Because Saul said to David, he said, go, may the Lord be with you. Think about what David looked like in front of the king. Yeah. If they lost, they lost everything. And he looked at this young man and he said, I believe in you. Come on, when you get prepared and you start doing what God's called you to do, there will be a time when you can stand before a king and the king's going to go, oh man, what can I do? This guy, send him out, let him go. He's the one, he's the chosen one. Go, and may the Lord be with you. There are bears, there are lions, there are giants, there are weapons, there are enemies that all come against us in the physical. But there's also a spiritual battle going on. Satan is still the same old enemy. He's out to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he uses discouragement. He uses shame. He uses temptations. He uses our thoughts. He uses our insecurities all against us, those giants against us. But no matter the enemy, the good news is that under God, you're never the underdog. David's attitude is that God is bigger. He's stronger. He's more than able. He's victorious. He's my defender. Goliath is a big target. How can I miss? Come on. Sometimes we look at our giant like that and we say, oh my gosh, look how big he is. But you ought to think about it. That target was so big. How can I miss, King? He's that big. So Saul clothed David with his armor and he put a bronze helmet on his head. And he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to the armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. David's not a warrior. And David said, I cannot walk in these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. You can't go where God wants you to go in somebody else's armor. Don't wear what don't fit. You got to be you. You have to be the authentic you. You have to be the one that, you got to be who you are. And I remember when we started the youth church several years ago, and I was going to these conferences, and I was wearing skinny jeans, and I was trying to preach like those young boys was doing. And finally God tapped me on the shoulder one day and said, be you. Don't be them. I'm using them for a purpose. I want you to be you. Whether you're grammatically well, and I have an English teacher sitting on the front row, whether you say everything eloquently or not, I want you to be the best you can be. God has equipped you. The word says you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. He gave you your own fingerprints. He gave you your own DNA. He knows the hairs that used to be on your head. He's equipped you with everything you need. Sometimes you just got to go the way you are. Don't wait till you're ready sometimes. So many of us miss out on what God has to do because I'm just not ready for this. I'm not prepared for this. She said it yesterday. Sometimes you got to get a kick out of the nest. Sometimes you got to get, God has to kick you forward into where you need to go. But here's what David did. He realized who he was, but the biggest thing, he realized who was with him. Your winning season started with knowing that God is with you no matter the season that you're going through in life. You can face it with confidence that God is on your side. David's life teaches us this. It teaches us that seasons are not about perfection. Come on, they're not about popularity. They're not about power. It's about God's presence. It's about His faithfulness and His timing. So many times we're trying to get ahead of God. And God's like, you're not ready. I'm preparing you, but you're not ready yet. And so many times we're trying to figure out His timing, and He says, my timing is perfect. I'm going to put you in the right place at the right time. I'm going to put you in front of kings when your character will allow you to be in front of kings. But until you are that ready, I cannot do that for you. But so many times on the reverse side of that, God has already prepared you. He's already given you the gifts. You know it, but you sit on it because you let fear, discouragement, shame, guilt all hold you down. God's trying to kick you out of the nest and you're kicking yourself in the nest. You're reliving all of the things you've done wrong. When God says, no, baby, come on, let's check the tally. Let's do the tally mark a different way. You're doing this right. You're doing this right. Oh, I see you doing that right. You're doing so good. Come on, somebody. So many times all we see is the tally marks of negativity. But let me tell you what, some of y'all are farther along than you used to be a few years ago, right? Sometimes you just got to remember, Rick, where God brought you from. I'm almost done. Your winning season is not just coming. It's being built right now. God, I'm waiting. He said, sometimes you got to wait. But also, you have to sometimes just got to go and know that God has built something in you that no hound of hell that can take it away from you. Let's all stand if we would, please. Maybe you're saying today, I don't feel like I'm in a winning season. Here's the good news. You can start your winning season today. Today. The first step, as the song they're getting ready to sing, is to know that the champion can be on your side. The one that's undefeated, who's never lost, can be on your side. But I'm going to tell you this morning, God is a God of mercy and grace, and God is a God of choice. He doesn't force you to do anything. He doesn't make you do anything. He could have not put that tree in the middle of the garden to start out. He wanted to give us a choice. The choice to be on His team. The choice to be a winner in a winning season is to give Jesus your heart. That starts by just saying, God, I come to You. Please forgive me of my sins. A humble heart and a repentant heart always gets God's attention. Always. God, I need You this morning. Come into my life. Forgive me for the sin that's in the past. Here's what you got to do. Once you release that to Him at this altar, it's going to be open in just a few minutes. Once you have to release that He's forgiven you, you have to release that He's forgiven you. That's a hard release right there. God, I didn't. No. The Bible says once you ask for forgiveness, it's cast as far as the east is from the west. Oh, He don't remember no more. We keep trying to bring it up to Him, and He's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. That's the God we serve, y'all. This morning, you want to have him to be the champion and defender of your life. Give your heart over to him. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for choosing me so I could live. Also twofold, the altars are going to be open. Maybe you feel like you're in a waiting season. Maybe you feel like you're in a season of preparation. Maybe you're in a season where you're fighting for your breakthrough. Just remember that God is in all of those seasons. He's in all of them. And he's finally tuning what he needs to do in each season that you're in. So let me tell you what you do. No season is a wasted season with God. Embrace it. Embrace it. So many times we complain, we're bitter, we're angry. But God's like, if you'll just embrace it, I'll show you the purpose that I have for you on the other side of this season. So as they get ready to sing this song, we're not just going to sing a response song. We're going to respond to the response song. If you need Jesus to come into your heart and into your mind, there'll be someone up here to pray with you and pray for you. We'll be up here around the altars. If you need someone to agree with you on something, maybe a season you're going through right now and you just need someone to listen to you for a minute, these altars are going to be open.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.